Introduce our speaker, who is not a stranger to Tabernacle of Praise. He's been here no less than half a dozen times. Amen. He brought his beautiful wife. Amen. Mafi. Oh, man. Mafi. We're so happy to see her. And I tell you, when he got married, he made a lot of people upset. But God is good. The Bible says not good for man to be alone. I'm a witness. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dr. Ross is from San Diego. I've looked at the temperature. I think it was 65 degrees in San Diego today. And we were in the teens. Lord have mercy. But we're so glad that they came on down. And Dr. Ross was born in South America. He's an international health lecturer, researcher, and he's the CEO and founder of Teaching the World International.
Amen.
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 And he has a little education behind him. He's a MD, medical doctor, has a medical doctor's degree. He's a PhD in public health. Amen. He has MPH degree in toxicology and a PhD in public health. And if that wasn't enough, he has a BS degree in biochemistry. Amen. Amen. So he's not just talking, he knows a little about something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But the best thing about him is that he has his BA, he's been born again. And he has another PhD. He prays hard daily. Amen. 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 So after the choir will of song, the next voice you'll hear will be that of Dr. Colin Ross.
When I was in trouble, Let's pray before we begin this evening. Father, we are so thankful that amidst the fires, the cold weather, that we have come into the house of God to get warmed up within our bones. The music has already helped a lot of us feel better. We don't feel that arthritis anymore or that anxiety that we had. There's something powerful about coming into the house of God. It's better than going to any hospital, better than going to any gym. We feel good right now. And Lord, we ask that not just for this weekend, but for the rest of the week, for the rest of the time that we are designated to be here on earth, that you will continue to give us that feel-good music, the feel-good rhythms, that which was locked up in the bones and the souls of our previous African ancestors that comes out every once in a while when we feel oppressed, when we feel that our backs are up against the wall. But Lord, we know that you will always come right on time. We're so thankful for the choir that's faithful, all of these beautiful women that sing to the highest praise of God. We need a couple of brothers in the choir, Father, and we don't know why we're not singing, but we thank God for your women, the holy women of God, the Miriams that still sing when they're crossing the Red Sea. We're so thankful for our wives, our sisters, our mothers, and our singers. And Lord, we're thankful for this church at this address, at this place. The songs, the preaching are not falling on deaf ears. And you have put top here year after year, pastor after pastor, to do a holy work in this neighborhood. Give them the strength to keep preaching and singing and inviting guests or doing it themselves. Because, Lord, if anybody is not reading the news or awake, we sure are rushed into the end of time. And we want to be caught ready, not unready, for your second coming. Because in a little while, we're going home. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. Good evening. You guys seem a little awake than the last time I came here. We had the technical things figured out. We always thank our technical team. You know, that other language which most of us don't speak. And I thank you for inviting me back. Those of you who weren't here the last time, I picked up a hitchhiker in life. My beautiful wife, Mafe. Some of you met her last time, some of you weren't here. So you always got to come when, you know, guests come along, because they might just bring a hitchhiker with them that you might want to meet. So I appreciate that. Tonight I'm not going to be long because, you know, we have a full weekend together, and I want to give you a commercial, a preview of what we're going to be talking about. Most of it will focus on the brain and the body. But in light of the times that we're living. So tonight we're going to talk about memory and the concerns people have about their memory. Or the concerns you have about somebody else's memory. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Tomorrow morning we're going to talk about Sweet 16. You ever heard that phrase? You're going to learn about diabetes type 1 and type 2, what it is and what it isn't, but more importantly, what can you do about it? Why is diabetes becoming of epidemic proportions, but the Adventists supposedly have a lifestyle message? Apparently the lifestyle message is putting people on life support if diabetes is exploding and we not denting it. So we're going to learn about, but then at divine hour, I'm going to tell it like it is. The message at divine hour is, if you don't arm yourself, you will harm yourself. When will we read the great controversy and recognize that if Martin Luther, the first one, did not speak up against the church and the politics, we would all be Catholics today. The Bible would be hidden. Read the great controversy. Why the church needs to speak up against evil, regardless of their political affiliations. But you know what? I got a little secret for you. Mama said, son, in the face of foolishness, don't be silent. So tomorrow, I'm going to tell it like it is. But you'll get some instructions about how to arm yourself so that you don't harm yourself. Then in the afternoon, we want to talk about how some more that we could do. Why is this epidemic proportion of metabolic diseases? But we're specifically going to answer this question. Why are young people developing old people's diseases by 20 years of age? And we'll learn some ways on how to correct that and fix that. All right. So you ready to get started?
Yes.
You ready to go?
Yes.
As this old lady used to say, are you fired up? Ready to go. Last thing I'll say, I actually met Aunt Maxine. Do y'all know Maxine Waters?
Yeah.
You know, she's from St. Louis. St. Louis. I ran into her at the airport.
All right.
She was about 84 years old. I ran into her husband, who used to, he was a professional football player.
Okay.
That lady is strong as you. You know, and we had such wonderful conversation. And the thing that struck me was she said, I heard about you Adventists, but I didn't know y'all was so down to earth. I had a conversation with her about our health message, et cetera. This is about 2 years ago. And thank God that we have people like Auntie Maxine who are fighting for us. But we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. So tonight, talking about memory. Any of you ever lost anything? You know? And you only look for something when it's important after you've lost it, right? I mean, if you lost a penny, you're not going to wonder where that thing is. But you lose $1,000. You want to find out where it is. Now, one of the places that most people lose things is in the airport, right? You don't, I mean, you're not too concerned when you lose something in your house because you're pretty sure it'll turn up soon. But when you lose stuff in the airport, or even if you lose stuff in a store, the first department you call is lost and found. Isn't that true? Right? And the typical call goes, hello, may I help you? I lost something. What is it? You describe it and they go look for it and you're happy because it's found. But tonight we're going to talk about your memory. And tonight's subject is, hello, lost and found department. Is my memory there? Where did you lose your memory? But most importantly, where can we find it? Now, don't get scared by doctors because it's not always bad news. Sometimes we forget simple things that will make you feel good about yourself. So if anybody's accusing you of possibly having Alzheimer's disease, etc., here is the number one diagnostic question you need to answer to know if you might have Alzheimer's disease, and here it is. Number one, when you can recall something you were trying to remember within 24 hours, you do not have Alzheimer's. It could be something else, but it's not Alzheimer's. Why don't you hear about this? Because underneath all of the research and trying to sell you another Ozempic-like drug, the pharmaceuticals have forgotten this simple diagnostic question. If you forget something and you can't remember it, but within the next 24 hours you remember it, it's not Alzheimer's. Second thing, any of you ever go into a room? You remember what the room is, but you don't remember why you went there. Here's the problem. Y'all don't know how to shop like a woman. Here's how ladies shop. You know, I think I need some shoes. They go into a store. There's shoes there, but there's a shirt. Man, look at this shirt. And before you know it, she went for shoes. Looked at the shirt, but you leave with a belt. Her mind got distracted to something. You see, the guys in here that are not laughing are cheap. Any of you single ladies in here, take note. Turn the cameras around. You don't want to be with a broke man. But here's what happens when you went into the room. Something else caught your attention and you forgot why you went into the room in the first place. So if you shop with a woman, you will understand that you're not losing your memory. You just got distracted. You don't have a memory disease. So let me go back here. Oh, no. All right. This thing is not working 100%, but we'll get through it. So Dean Ornish wrote a book. There was a slide there, but you can't see it, where he said, and this is the one that catches our attention, that you could reverse any memory problem with proper diet and lifestyle, especially Alzheimer's. That is not true. Let me tell you why. You ready for it? You can only diagnose Alzheimer's at death. The only way you know a person had Alzheimer's, apart from the clinical symptoms, is when they die, you open up their brain and you find these things called plaques. But those plaques give us a clue in what we can do in our lifestyle to decrease our development of Alzheimer's. And that's what we're going to focus on. But I don't want you to get caught up into people selling you jugaboo juice or vitamin D. These things do not help you reverse or improve your memory. But we're going to find out where you lost your memory, why you lost your memory, and how to regain it. And how many of you thought Alzheimer's, no, I'm in an ethnic church, was a white woman's disease? Because a place for mom doesn't say a place for Geraldine. Right? And you see the little old white lady with her daughter. Oh, I found a place for mom. It's going to shock you who is really developing most of Alzheimer's disease. But it's not white ladies. The healthcare system caters to, I'm just telling y'all the truth, because they have good health insurance and can pay for a place for mom. Most of us, the place for mom was, we had a nice little, you know, room, and that's all right. Because we as a people, we believe our relatives should stay and live with us. We're still tribal. But here's the thought I want you to understand. There's balance in between the two. There's sometimes when you have to let mom go to a skilled nursing facility because you're going to do her more harm than you're doing more good. So keep that in mind, all right? So I'm going to get a little bit nerdy, but here's what you need to understand about what I just said. There's association and causation. Association means that there are things associated with a disease, but they may not have caused it. Perfect example is this, all right? Obesity is associated with the foods that you eat, but it wasn't necessarily just caused by the foods that you eat. Association versus causation. The reason why we need to get a little nerdy, we'll get a little bit into that, is when we look at the healthcare systems in the world, the best healthcare systems in the world, the United States, out of all developed countries, has never ranked in the top 10. We have the highest, some of the highest infant mortality rate in the world. If you are born in the United States, thank God that you're made it to adulthood. Because one of the things that we don't do well is deliver babies. And by the way, you may not know this. And I know you don't know this. Because they don't want to tell you this as they erase books. It was the West African surgeons that invented the C-section. Here's the difference. The West African surgeons, to develop baby, to deliver babies that were in trouble, they made a surgical incision from the belly button down to the waistline, and they just pulled out the baby. But in Western medicine, women are more worried about aesthetics than health. And so the Europeans made the C-section a line across the hip because mama don't want to look bad after she gives birth. But the science of the C-section came from Africa. And one of the reasons why the United States is so terrible in health statistics is in all preventable places of mortality, we are doing horrible. Many of you, if you feel sick right now, you can't get a hold of your primary care. You can't get a hold of an urgent care. So you go to the emergency room. And you're going to see why this is becoming important, especially when we deal with the disease of Alzheimer. Oop, let's go. Okay. So here's what we know regarding where did you lose your memory, but more importantly, where do you find it? So let's start off with sleep, memory, and coffee. Here's the first thing you need to know. Number one, Americans, more than anybody else, drink a lot of coffee. Most Americans are drinking, on average, 4 cups of coffee a day to stay awake. If you drink coffee and have Alzheimer's, it does not improve it. What coffee does, some of these slides, oh, you know what? Something is up with this thing that we did because it's not showing off the slides. So let me try to. Yes, let me stay here and then I'll. It's not showing all the slides, but let me go here and I'll break this down to you. One of the biggest diseases occurring in Americans today is sleep apnea. But you need to understand the difference between sleep apnea and insomnia. All right. Here it is. I had it on the slide, but it's not showing it. So insomnia is your inability to sleep. Sleep apnea is your inability to breathe while you sleep. And here's what most people tell you who suffer from sleep apnea. I don't snore. I never heard myself snore. But your spouse or the dog or the neighbors or, you know, the fire alarms, they hear you snore. Here's why. When you breathe in, you breathe in oxygen. When you breathe out carbon dioxide. What happens with sleep apnea is when you breathe out that carbon dioxide, your throat structures are blocking it from getting out, so that carbon dioxide goes up to your brain and it causes you to think you're asleep. That's why the person with sleep apnea feels tired during the day but thinks they're sleeping well at night. Once you start starving the brain of oxygen, it develops mental deficits. I can't get going in the morning. I can't remember what order that I do things. I get up and I want to go right back to sleep. And so how have most people solved this? Drinking 2 to 3 cups of coffee. The problem with insomnia is this: sleep hygiene. Most of you, I can't sleep. What's the first thing you ask the doctor? What should I take? Melatonin? Benadryl? But you never ask the doctor, what should I do? You need, and the Bible speaks of this. I don't need to go into this. If you read Psalms 105 to the, it goes through sleep hygiene. Number one, and this is why it's important about this thing that we're talking about with memory. Number one, half an hour before you go to sleep, turn off the cell phone. Turn off the TV, especially now when you want to see what new trick the clown did today. I'm not saying who, what you clown. What did the clown say now? What did the clown do now? What other animals came out of the clown circus? It can cause you to develop more insomnia and affect your memory. Turn off the cell phone half an hour before you sleep. Meditate or pray before you sleep. And for husbands and wives, and she will testify to this, you do not fight half an hour before you go to bed. But in the morning, it's on. Sleep hygiene. So here's the first thing where most people are losing their sleep, their memory with sleep apnea. Not getting it treated. You know God is so good. Do you know what the treatment for sleep apnea is? Anyone who wants to take a wild guess? What's that? No, I said the treatment. The sleep mat machine, these are the oxygen. And the second part is, what do you need to do to get more oxygen? It could be weight loss. It could be the CPAP machine. It could be a combination of the two. But the bottom line is this. As Americans get bigger, we're seeing more and more sleep apnea, which is creating memory problems. When you starve your brain of oxygen, it starts to lose not past memory, but current memory. You go to the job and you forgot what you left to do. You try to call a certain phone number and you start forgetting it, and you knew it all this time. And then you start to get worried about, should I go see the doctor? Do I need a CT scan? No, you need to diet and exercise so that you can cure that sleep apnea. But most people today in America are suffering more from sleep apnea than they do insomnia. And so the memory problem becomes, and all the slides, I don't know, it's not showing on this. Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. So they're all in now? Okay. Okay. Let me go back then. I'm sorry. Okay, that was that one. Okay, we did that. Yes. All right. So I'm going to back up and then I'm sorry, folks. Forgive me. I'm not going to keep you long, but here. So here are the things that you do need to know about Alzheimer's disease. Number one is difficulty doing regular activities like getting home, knowing your kids, their names, mixing them up. Those are more signs of Alzheimer's. Dramatic mood swings. Where you're angry, where you should be peaceful, peaceful when you should be angry. But folks, these are things, now I know, I heard the chuckles. You're like, oh man, my husband must have Alzheimer's then. No, that's just testosterone. But folks, these signs appear, and because of time, I'm not going to go through it because we kind of lost some of them. But these signs appear, and I can send you this slide, collectively, are diagnostic for Alzheimer's. Go here. Okay, here's the slide I wanted to get to. Oh, let me go back. You know, every time I come here, the devil always messes with me. Because he doesn't want you guys to get this information, but we'll get it to you. And I wanted to get to this slide for us as people of color in particular. Two things that we need to understand about our healthcare. One of them is happening, and I'm seeing this on the political level, where our funding is being threatened. Let me go. Okay. Nope, not that one. Go back. Okay. Okay. So here's what I wanted to show. Remember I said that a place for mom might be that commercial because they know that Caucasian women tend to have good health insurance. But actually, when you look at the slide, the people in 85 plus. Now, there's two things that I need to explain to you here. If you look at this part of the slide, these are white Americans. This is us. And these are the Latinos. This is the percentage of the people that will develop Alzheimer's disease at this age. But here is why, one of the reasons why we are part of the largest in this group, followed by the Latinos. Number one, we have a better overall lifestyle. So we live longer. Most of the Latinos that make it in this group do a lot of physical labor. Are you starting to notice a pattern that activity and diet are the things that even if you will develop Alzheimer's, you'll at least live to a good ripe old age. But there's even something else that I'm going to come back to later that you should know about this. And here's what I'm talking about with funding that's going on right now. Right now, more than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. By 2050, 14 million people age 65 and older will be living with Alzheimer's. That's not the bad part yet. Right now, we have spent last year $321 billion treating people who have Alzheimer's disease. Now, this is not a plug for any form of healthcare, but here's one of the big differences between us, Canada, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Germany, and I could go on and on and on. Even though they pay higher taxes, when your loved one gets Alzheimer's disease, memory disease, they need to be in a skilled nursing facility. It is 100% paid. You just take them to the doctor, they're diagnosed, and you get to choose of the land where you want your loved one to go. It does not work like that in the United States of America, and funding is being cut for a disease that has no cure, but there's a prevention to it. And that's what I'll get to before tonight is over. So when we look at how much we spend for our healthcare system, remember I said we rank 33 in quality, but we spend most of our tax dollars on keeping people sick. 0.81%. Oh, it's still kind of, but all right, let's go back here. All right, okay. So let me go. Here it is. This is the slide I wanted to get to. It's kind of messed up, but we'll get it together. So insomnia, remember, difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep. Sleep apnea is where there's a blockage and you're concentrating CO2. This is the slide that I wanted to show you. So what's happening is, I hope I'm not in the way. Okay, so what's happening is the person is breathing in oxygen. This is what your brain needs. What you should be breathing out is carbon dioxide. The blockage here prevents the carbon dioxide from going out, so it goes to your brain. This is what causes the person to feel drowsy and sleepy throughout the night. Most of you, if you've slept next to someone who's had sleep apnea, you notice that they choke. That is God's wake reflex for when your carbon dioxide level is too high. Let me tell you something that God did for you and you didn't even know. If God didn't put this choke reflex in your body, we would all die from sleep apnea. He put a little sensor in your brain that when your CO2 is too high, boom, wake him up. So he left for us as men to give you the lifestyle changes so that we could stop this event. So some of you mentioned CPAP. All the CPAP does is it forces you to breathe in oxygen and forces you to exhale the carbon dioxide. When you lose the weight, the structures in the throat that are blocking this don't block it anymore. When you do the surgery, all they do is remove the excess tissue. Now let me ask you a question. CPAP, surgery, or lifestyle? Which would you choose? And who is the church that supposedly has a health message, but because we're too concentrated on who's eating pork? Every time I talk to an Adventist, you eating pig? Are you vegan? Their sleep apnea, hypertension, hyperlipidemia are things that God gave us that are killing people that we could attack, but the devil is tricking us, distracting us by talking about pork. I smell it on your breath. You're drinking that liquor. You know what's killing Adventists? Our thoughts. Some of us think worse than pigs. But I'm gonna leave that alone. We have a message, a health message, that could save the world from something that's semi-killing them called sleep apnea. And as a child of God, when they ask me to speak at conferences, I tell them, this is not evolution. It is not by accident that we have a sensor in our brain to detect when you got CO2. And what you call coughing and choking and apnea, I call grace. Because you didn't have to make it to the next day. God woke you up because he had to choke you up. Isn't God good? Even in sleep apnea, my goodness. All right, so here's some of the things that sleep apnea causes. The snoring, we know. Depression, diabetes, heart failure, high blood pressure. And here it is. Concentration and memory problems. The problem is sleep apnea can hit anyone at any time. And once again, it's based upon lifestyle. Let me rush because we... Okay, so I talked about the coffee. And so if you're losing your memory in the mornings, you don't have Alzheimer's. It could be sleep apnea or insomnia. So when you call the lost and found, I'm losing my memory in the morning, even though I'm drinking more coffee. We found it here in either sleep deprivation or insomnia. One thing I'll tell you before we move on to the next one is this. I'm all for students achieving and excelling and doing well, but we have created a cycle in the academia where we actually reward students for ill lifestyles, for competition. What do they have to do for that? All-nighters. I gotta study real hard. Any one of you that has done engineering, law, especially in the medical field. Okay, let me tell you what I'm saying. and I'll say it out loud and I'll say it proud. Some of you suspected, where did my doctor get his medical degree? Because he don't know much. Or doesn't he seem like he's all over the place? That sleep apnea, sleep deprivation, you having to study 3 days. Look, I tell people, I did 1 year residency and left. That's why I went into research. Because after 1 year, I noticed that my sleep cycle was off. How am I going to treat people when I'm falling asleep? Two things happened to me that made me decide, no, I'm going to research. Number one, I was doing emergency medicine. A little child came into the ER that we had to do a CT scan on this little child. I'm sitting there. The last thing I remember is talking to the child. The next thing I remember is, doctor, doctor, are you okay? I'm the one who's sick. That's what the baby said to me. And then the other time I remembered, which I decided, no, this is not for me. What they would do in the ER is, if you were a first year resident, you typically worked 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. But then there was a night when you were ready to go home because you had to go through the process. I did it and you did it. Where they'd say, come here, where are you going? You're going to work from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. They made you work a 24-hour shift just for being evil. And then you wonder why your doctors don't want to spend time with you. They don't want to know your first name. They don't ask you, how was your vacation? How is your family? Nothing like that. It's just, what's your problem? And the minute you mention, well, I got another thing. Well, I got to go. It's because of our training process. So if you have children going into these fields, teach them to keep a good balance, spiritual. Yeah, you got to keep up the competition, but balance is most important. When I did clinical medicine, the thing that people would always say about me was not, oh, he's smart or whatever. He was so nice because I looked them in the eyes. I knew about their kids. I knew about, that's what Jesus did. The illness wasn't no, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but we all know the truth that if we were to look for the true Jesus, he would kind of look more like me or more like you. But Jesus looked beyond their faults and spoke to their needs. How are you today, ma'am? How was your Christmas? Did you spend it by yourself? These are some resources, etc. And year after year. Number one in patient satisfaction. And I didn't write a new script or anything else. Just learn how to smile, learn how to be cordial, addressed older women by ma'am, younger men by sir. And I always had a little trick. I would always tell the older lady, man, you look so cute today. I love those little shoes. I'd always tell the older men in front of their wives, man, she's lucky she got you. I could imagine you were a killer in your day. He'd be, yes, son, that's right. But you know, she caught my, these are the little things that you do to make people feel good about themselves. And every once in a while, without mentioning the name of Jesus, because if you display his character, you know what, son, I suspect. I've deduced. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. What church do you? Seventh-day Adventist. I never heard of them. I heard they were mean people always talking about meat and women wearing long dresses. But I never know that Adventists were so nice. That's what we do. Healthcare. All right, I'm going to get on. Is that okay? Okay. So I'm almost done. I tend to go off. You know, it's my ADHD. Alcohol and memory. How many of you heard a little wine for the stomach's sake? And people use the Bible to trick you. Yeah. It's two different words in the Old Testament, New Testament. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not a theologian. You got powerful theologians in this church that could clean that all up for you. But here's what you need to know about alcohol and memory. Here's what we know, where you lost your memory. Can I ask you something? If you suffer an amputation on a leg, is that leg growing back? No, it's not going to grow back, right? No matter what you do. In your body, you have a blood-brain barrier. It's this unseen protection that keeps your brain free of free radicals. These are free radicals are like terrorists in the body. They run around blowing up bombs wherever they can land. And wherever they tend to do their damage, it doesn't regenerate. So in the blood-brain barrier, what alcohol does, even for the people that say, I just socially drink. All right, if you just socially drink, I got a challenge for you, okay? I have a bomb in one of 10 packages. And so I'm going to let each of you, 10 brave people, pick one of those packages. Anybody up for the challenge? Because you don't know when that bomb's going to blow up. The problem when you socially drink, socially smoke, I eat a little pork every once in a while, is that we have discovered that those free radicals cross the blood-brain barrier. And even when you do it a little bit, the damage is irreparable. Meaning that a drink today kills blood cells tonight that never regenerate tomorrow. And there have been some babies who have been born not under romance and love, but wine and the club. I always tell the story of the young lady that went to the club and she thought that Flavor Flav was talking to her. And Flavor Flav knows one thing. When you go to the club, you don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be well dressed. You just have to know how to order drinks. And so she's talking to her girlfriends. Girl, man, this Flavor Flav over here. You know, I got this fool. He buying me drink after drink. And you know, soon I have him paying my rent. I have him taking care of all sorts of things. Flav, give me another Long Island ice. Flav, give me another Scotch. Flav, hold on, child. Let me just set this deal with Flavor Flav. Denzel, what you doing up in here? I thought you were Flavor Flav. When you, y'all didn't get what I was saying. This is a message to the ladies in the church and the ladies in the world. If you have a problematic relationship right now, let me tell you what got the man to get you. It was the drinks. Alcohol consumption affects your memory and your judgment. Even if it's socially, it permanently kills brain cells and it permanently kills memory cells. So here's what happens. If you think I'm lying, this is an MRI of the oxygen activity, green, good, of a person who doesn't take a drink. But every time you take a drink, look at what happens to the oxygen. It gets starved, then the brain cells die, and they never recuperate. This is why people who are alcoholic tend to have a permanent memory loss over time. So, for people who drink alcohol, their memory was lost in the bottle, and that's why, you know, that's what really caused the problem, was the drinking of alcohol. All right, I'm almost there. All right, so here's where I'm going to bring in some of the research. You won't believe this. So, ladies, you need to understand something about estrogen and premenopause and your memory. This is where it gets into the science. And actually, I have this research. You can download it for free on my website. You can read it. Women, memory, and estrogen. So here's what we forgot. And they did this on purpose in the literature. Guess why? How much did your estrogen cost you when God gave it to you, ladies?
Nothing.
It was free. Guys, how much did your testosterone cause it when God said, let us make man in our own image? Did he say, well, let's charge him for the testosterone we accept Visa, MasterCard, and Apple Pay? He gave it to you free. Now, let me tell you why this is important to understand. There are two molecules of cholesterol you need to understand. HDL, you want it nice and high, H. LDL, you want it nice and low. Do you know what? You know why most women outlive men? This thing called estrogen keeps your HDL nice and high and your LDL nice and low. So you don't form plaques around your heart, you don't form plaques around your feet, and you don't form plaques in your brain. Estrogen does that for you. That's why it's very difficult to find a woman less than 50 years of age who's developed Alzheimer's or a memory problem. And you ladies know you're good at memory. Y'all don't tell us that. But you know. How many are, you see, a good woman knows, I know this fool is not going to remember. I'll just let pretend. Y'all know everything. You don't forget much. I thought I'd get more amens from them. You know that it's true. And you know who knows it? We know it. I have stopped fighting those arguments. Well, you remember last year? No. But Brother Paul, I gave up. Because, you know, when she pulls out the pictures and the receipts and the phone, I said, you know what? I really did forget. Ladies have good past memory. They do. So just some advice to many of us guys. If you're going to fights that happened years ago, you're going to lose that. Stick with the fights of today. But here's why. Estrogen protects you from building plaques. Remember that. That's real important. And those plaques are what cause Alzheimer's disease. Keep that in mind. I'm going to show you something that is incredible. Where did the estrogen come from? God. Where did testosterone come from? God. Okay. So in men, testosterone does the opposite. Oops, let me go back here. With men, testosterone raises our LDL and lowers our HDL. So theoretically, men form more plaques than women. Now, this is a question I got to ask God. Because in man's perfect, you recognize we're still a pattern of how God made us. The estrogen complements the testosterone. Those estrogen behaviors that you ladies have actually help us men to balance out our destructive testosterone behaviors. That's why he said the two shall become one. Now, I'm not saying anything with this, but, you know, we have to learn how to deal with people that are confused. Yeah. Testosterone does not balance out testosterone. That's right. Estrogen does not balance out estrogen. But you want to know what? We all need the love of God. Because if you haven't dealt, I think some of you follow what I'm saying. If you haven't dealt with what I'm talking about, you will not know the psychological challenges that all sinners face. And there's only one cure. And sometimes it could be a lifetime for God to work on us. But don't want you to forget this about men. So with men, we are more prone to form those plaques of cholesterol in our brain, which leads to Alzheimer's disease. So here's the research. You can get it on my webpage. I published it long time ago. But let me tell you why nobody wants to let you know about it or pay attention to it. How much does estrogen cost, ladies?
Free.
It's free. How much does testosterone cost, guys? It's free. Capitalistic systems do not like the word free because they can't capitalize on it. And the research is there. So here's what we found. All right. Let me skip through this because of time. It's 8:15. Well, I'll have you out of here by 8:30. So what we found when we did the research, you may have heard of the Women's Health Study. What happened in early 2010 is that this study came out, because most of you, especially if you're an older lady in this church, remember that when women went into menopause, we would put them on estrogen, Prempro, you know, you remember some of those estrogen-like medications right away. Well, guess what happened? From 40 years before the 2010, the incidence of Alzheimer's disease developing around women was less than 5%. What was happening is, when we were putting women on estrogen, when they went into menopause, which was continuing that activity to stop forming the plaques in their brain, and if they had the genetic basis for developing Alzheimer's, that estrogen prolonged it. So most women who went on HRT, as they called it, from 50 years to 60 years, it was a 10-year treatment. If they develop Alzheimer's, they were 100 years old before they did. But remember, it had to do with cholesterol. So, on the webpage, and you can read about this, is if, listen to what I'm saying, this is not for everybody. If you are a woman and your family history has high risk for developing Alzheimer's disease, you want to consider going on HRT therapy, doing all the screens for breast cancer risk for 10 years. Because the research and the data shows if you're a woman and that was your risk, that's what cut it down. How much does estrogen cost? It's free. And there's some natural forms of it too. I'm going to rush through this. And you can read, and I go through, you know, the risk factors, etc. Now, here's the thing for men. Oops. Okay. So with men and women, where you start developing the memory problems, you're forgetting how to get home, you're forgetting what day it is, you're starting to show the definitive signs, you can't remember that thing after 24 hours you were trying to remember. Now you have to go into prevention mode. The thing you have to prevent is that plaque from growing. So on the website, I list a combination. Niacin is a natural vitamin. Omega is also natural. Aspirin and orlistat. The combination of these four, when I did the research, as far as prevention, decreased the plaques in the brain. Did I tell you I'm selling a product? No. What I'm telling you is, the research and the data shows some of the prevention, and you're never going to cure it. You have to try to prevent it or prolong it. We actually have the data. But you know what? Here's the problem. Free gets in the way of profits. And that's why you don't hear about it. So some things that you can do other than what I mentioned, I'm winding up, to stave off memory loss is try to keep learning new things. Meditate, or what some people call prayer. Walk with a friend, because remember, you got to keep that oxygen flow up. The reason why I say walk with a friend is sometimes you don't feel motivated to do any activity. So you need someone who will continue to keep you motivated, eat right, sleep right, and challenge yourself. And here is the most important thing. Stop skipping church. People want God to do miracles for them when they're sick. Why don't you use God as a prevention versus an intervention? All right. So that he can keep you from falling into high-risk behaviors, meeting Flavor Flav in the club, thinking he's Denzel Washington, being fooled by research studies, instead of just simply practicing thus saith the Lord. So there are my references. We have about 10 minutes. Answer any questions, but let me go through this in summary. If you can recall something within 24 hours that you forgot, is that Alzheimer's disease? No. What is the hormone that women produce that helps decrease the buildup of those plaques? What is it? Estrogen. Exactly. If a woman is at high risk of, and you can look at your family history to see if a woman is at high risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, what is a possible treatment strategy that you could employ to prevent the development of that?
HRT.
If you're a man and you have cholesterol problems, you drink, your testosterone is causing you to do that. What some of the things that you can do is develop a better lifestyle so that you decrease the development of those plaques, because that is a prevention strategy for what? Alzheimer's disease, right? Okay, so insomnia versus sleep apnea, which is the one that causes your brain to concentrate more carbon dioxide? Sleep apnea. And does the person feel like they're sleeping when they have sleep apnea? Why does the person feel like they're sleeping when they have sleep apnea? What's concentrating in their brain? Right. The carbon dioxide. And that choke reflex. God, there we go. You get, God gave us the choke reflex so that we don't die. And that's why the person chokes. If, we're almost at, folks, did y'all do a residency in internal medicine? Are you board certified by the state of Missouri?
No.
To practice medicine?
No.
You're talking back to me with more sense than most of my colleagues in the field right now. Now do you see why rest and balance and exercise and all that is important? So if I go into a room, like some of you keep tripping over, I gotta go call that neurologist because I went into a room and I forgot why I was there. Is that a memory problem?
No.
Women do that all the time when they shop. And all it is that you got distracted by something else that took precedence over the reason why you went there. And so you don't have a memory problem. You just need to take your girl out more to shop. Guys, is it safe for you to argue with ladies about things that occurred in the past?
No.
I think I've accomplished my job. Do you feel smarter now? You feel brighter now? Last thing before we go, insomnia. Sleep hygiene. Half an hour before you go to bed, are you going to watch Fox News?
No.
CNN?
No.
TikTok?
No.
If it's banned. You shouldn't be watching it. It's banned. Okay. Are you going to fight with anybody half an hour before you go to sleep? But when will you fight? First thing in the morning. Before breakfast. Okay? So you got it? Are you board certified in sleep medicine? You just said everything that any doctor, they might use a whole bunch of different language, but folks, that's what it is. So I thank you for listening. I thank you for paying attention. Tomorrow we'll talk about Sweet 16. Then we'll have the message midday. And then in the afternoon, we're gonna show you how to stop our youth from developing adult diseases, but also give you some adults a tool. Even if you're on Ozempic, did bariatric surgery, hey, I understand, you know, something that you can use to accompany that so you don't revert back to what you lost or maintain your healthy lifestyle. All right. So I'll open it up for any questions. 8:25, you know, and then we can.
Yeah. Y'all answering like y'all got a degree over there. Yeah, my question was, I didn't get what you said HRT was, but that's somebody.
Hormonal replacement therapy. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
What's the last medication or vitamin on that list?
Okay, so niacin is one of those vitamins. Omega-3 is, well, it's actually more of a natural supplement, those two. And actually, there's a natural form of aspirin, too. But, you know, I mean, I know Adventists. I don't want y'all running wild with it. This is a potential. What I would like for you to do is you can go to the website and download the research for free. You don't have to pay anything. It's just to give you a guide in case you have these questions in your family, you know, about if you're strong. Oh, Laura, www. lower6app.com. And you'll get plenty of information about it. Everything's on that one website. Yeah. It's a number. Lower six app.
What would you say is the best treatment for sleep apnea if someone has it that's not overweight?
If a person doesn't have it, if a person has it and they're not overweight, they need to be tested first to be diagnosed that it is sleep apnea. Then it could be in between large throat structures, or there's some sort of blockage, even HPV, which can swell up the tonsils, et cetera. So they would have to be diagnosed, because in the diagnosis, it tells you what is actually causing the problem and how you fix it. But the majority of cases are people who are obese. The majority of cases. Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, I have high blood pressure, I'm diabetic, I have memory loss. This can all be from sleep apnea.
Yes, it can. Sleep apnea is a factor that can cause all of those things.
So if I don't have anybody next to me to let me know that I'm choking, how can I get my doctor to?
No, you tell him. You tell him, I think I have sleep apnea. Can you please test me for it? Now, the reason why I'm saying that is I just recently wrote some articles because I was getting a lot of emails about endocrinologists testing people for pheochromocytoma, which is a tumor in the adrenal gland, et cetera, that causes people to produce a whole bunch of stress hormones. And I had to point out to them that sleep apnea is the most underdiagnosed condition in the United States of America. The obesity statistics are going hand in hand with that. So the first thing I always tell people, you got to be tested. Don't guess it. Get tested, because not only does testing confirm it, you also have to figure out how much oxygen you need from that CPAP machine, because if you get too much oxygen, man, let me tell you how good God is. When you sleep at night, he regulates through your sleep the proper amount of oxygen. This is why I don't understand how people could study medicine and come to the conclusion there's not a God. He regulates the oxygen you need at night so that you wake up the next day. And even though it's a tragedy when some people pass away at 50, they pass away young, 50 years of your life, for every night of your life, God was giving you enough oxygen for you to make it alive the next day. Even if you got cancer, even if you passed away from a stroke, all the years of your life that you live, he regulated your oxygen every night. So you didn't get too much and you didn't get too little. It's only disease that causes that problem. Why do people believe in evolution? I don't know. But yeah, get tested. And then they'll figure out, calculate how much oxygen you need. And by the way, if you're alive, God already was doing that. In the face of sleep. You know what, man, let me tell you. The more I think about physiology, sometimes it surprises me how good God is. That even in the face of sleep apnea, he's still giving you enough to stay awake, to choke you awake, but to keep you alive. Oh, my goodness, God is good. All right, next question. Let me stop. Any other? That's it? Okay. So tomorrow, please be here bright and early. I will be. So we're going to talk about sweet 16, dispel some myths about diabetes type 1. It's not because you ate sugar over the weekend or you ate cake. I can't believe the amount of people who blame the church potluck for their diabetes. It's them church people. You're going to find out what type 1, type 2 is, but I'm going to tell you what you can do to cut down your development of that. And it's very simple stuff. Three simple things you need to do, and you can start this week. Divine Hour, of course. Sorry, I got to let loose. And then in the afternoon, we actually have a tool to help you, guide you through some of the mess that the food industry has done, okay? So let us stand and we will pray and you'll be dismissed and we will see you tomorrow, all right? Dear Father, we're so thankful that you are great and awesome and that you have lent us this knowledge, not only to share, but to help improve our lives and the world's life. We ask that you give us a good night's sleep, come back tomorrow, not to hear Colin Ross, but to pray and to hear the voice of Jesus and what he needs to say in our specific lives. In Jesus' holy name, I pray, amen. You are dismissed. See y'all tomorrow.